Your topic.
I think in some announcement from the office, I think it was entitled the Halachic Response to Social and Scientific Change. But it seemed to be it's too similar to the stuff that you hear at 120 First Street. So I just made the broad topic here, halacha v'chevra. And we'll try to focus in on some of the ikrim that really are involved in the darkei horor. It's a topic that can be used to discuss Ramesh Kol HaTorah Kula, because our Torah is a halachic response to social and scientific change. But a Bohu, who, being omniscient, was able to respond at Maimon Har Sinai to changes that are occurring today, or will occur 100 years from now, or 1,000 years from now. That is part of the claim of the Nitzchius of Torah, that it's ever adaptable without change. It's adaptable while being immutable. No man-made law can make that boast. Obviously, it's due to the structure of halacha, in which halacha has a built-in elastic clause that allows it to encompass change within society. What differentiates us from those of our estranged brethren who really have about left the faith, the Reform have left the faith, they are no longer Jews, the least of it. The conservatives would be nice to know what they are, who they are, where they stand. But certainly, I think it's important to recognize that we are no longer dealing with a, quote, a Jewish movement. The individual Reformed Jew, Yisrael, Apishachotah Yisrael. But the movement is now a neo-Christian movement, certainly a non-Jewish movement, with their last decision to give up the morals and ethics of Judaism, along with the ritual. They gave up the ritual, Lachatfile, and claimed that they speak yet the moral and ethical and ethics of biblical Judaism. They claim it to themselves to be moralists and ethicists. With their last decision, actually a series of decisions, premarital sex, a new decision to allow in, or rather to encourage the formation of gay synagogues and have them join the union, and the fact that they have moved their constituency from Jew to non-Jew. I saw a study in the last few days and looked over some of the things I want to discuss with you, that 40% of Reform congregations will allow a non-Jew to be a member and participate in the service. Not a mi Yehudi, a bad geirus, good geirus, a bad kedushin. No. Lives in a neighborhood, he's a pluralistic type personality, Geit HaNishtan, Sunday he goes to church, Shabbos he comes to the temple, they'll give him an aliyah, they'll open up Psichas Nile, Chan Yom Kippur, whatever they do. So you're no longer dealing with a Jewish movement. It's very important, especially for you people who are going to be the spokesmen for the next generation, to be da mashatosh of lapikoris, as I said in Shir the other day, the apikoris within you, not only another apikoris. Everyone has a little apikoris hanging out in his heart, hanging onto his soul, who asks questions. You have to be able to answer. And the key question that's being asked is, how far can you push halacha in response to imagined or real social needs? That was the reason for undertaking what really is a massive assignment, and one that tests a little bit the courage, my own courage and yours, to handle some of these inyanim that are fraught with danger, that Chalil Rachas, you should think that because of the language we use, we are also using the constructs, the theories, the psychological sets of those who don't believe in Torah Misinai. To use a Balabatish example, which I think is meaningful, the fact is that Kadosh Baruch Hu didn't draw any sharp demarcation lines between Mutar and Asur. The fact is that he drew only circumscribed areas of acceptable activity. And when you step out of that bound, you stepped away either from Judaism or from the pale of humanity. But those boundary lines in that box are very rigid. They don't budge at all. We differentiate our theology, our understanding of halacha, from the conservative group in that we have those rigid boxes. But we also differentiate our theology from the amaratzis that can get into Am Yisrael, which is also a kind of apikosis, that insists there's only one line. That is not. The whole koach of a Baal Horor is to know the boundary lines of the box. Because a Baal Horor knows very well when you're out of that box, there's nothing to do. The Raisis are not to talk about. The Rabbonim, let's understand what the boundary lines of their takanas were. Minhogim, let's see what the impact of Minik can be and what exactly was the historicity of the Minik to let me understand what are the limits set by Minhog. I want to give you people the shoes to stop me right now and go make me go to some more cut and dried material. Essentially what I decided to do once I sat down to prepare the work over the last many months, I realized that I have trouble putting a period at the end of almost any sentence, certainly at the end of a lecture. I want to review with you first, before we begin, the topics that I felt belong into this series. I only have two times to meet with you on this thing. Third time is supposed to be on Hasagas Gevul. If things go well, I think maybe I'd be prepared to be Mevater on Hasagas Gevul and let someone else be Masig Mike Gevul and talk about Hasagas Gevul. Hasagas Gevul is also an important topic. It's on a new pizza shop wants to open up here. Halacha Lamaaseh. Here's how I set up, at least for the first presentation, and here I am not that foolhardy to think that I have material here only for one shiur. It could last all three shiurim. Depends how we handle it. But I thought we have a concept here of terminal education. We catch you for a certain amount of time and then you disappear. I thought that because I owe it to you at least to give you a little bit of a few more keys to knowledge, at least where to think and where to look. And Emir Hashem then expand on the theme by yourself, because Rosh Hashem, I have full confidence that you can do it on your own too. If only you directed where to look and a little bit how to think. Let me run through what I have for Shir 1, which may not be Shir 1, maybe Shir 1, 2, and 3. So I'll try my best to make it Shir 1 by skipping. But I thought I'd put it in, touch the points quickly, and have you benefit from that. Because I feel that this somehow fell into my lot as a great achayas. Talk about something no one else wants to talk about here in the issue. Essentially, I began by thinking, what do we mean by halachic response to a social and scientific change? The scientific change is easier for me. I thought about it many, many years. I have a clear understanding of the scientific facts. Halacha and science never in conflict. It's a good psychological set to begin with. Psychological set is that God is not schizophrenic, that the Hashem Elohim don't fight with each other. It's one God, the Hashem Echad. Therefore, there can't be conflict between science and halacha. It cannot be. That's the hanacha you make, despite the lectures on Tohu Umada. That all that stuff really is nonsense, because it almost falls into that category, not of Bible criticism, but of God criticism. Even to pose the question, is science and halacha in conflict? We do not have a schizophrenic God. They're not in conflict. And if they seem to be in conflict, it's always due to one of three reasons. You don't understand the science, you don't understand the halacha, or the third most common reason, you don't understand either the science or the halacha. That will come to, we have some good examples, we'll run through, Mir Hashem, no problem. It's the first part that bothers me. Halachic response to social change. In Shir and Ksubis, I was really oriented my thinking to this problem. How many want to vote for that Chazoke today? You want a Gallup poll? Will it come out that way? And on it depends whether an HSH is Muteras Le'almo or not Muteras Le'almo. We're talking about Mamzerus and Chiyav Misa based upon that Chazoke. Do we go with the Chazoke or don't we go with the Chazoke? Or are all these chazokis like Cheskas Nida, a chazokah asuya lishtanas? And social change is catch it at what point of the swing of the pendulum, where are you now? Chazoke or no chazoke? I thought I'd begin with first establishing the right of the laymen to make halachas. And I call that Tokev Shal Minog Balocha. The concept of Minog Yisrael Dinhu is a dual concept. Minhog makes din, as we'll see. But there's a second concept which people don't fully appreciate. And that is, if you know your din, you'll almost always find that Minog Yisrael reflects din. Not just arbitrariness on the part of society to make up the psanu custom. And maybe minig is called dinhu, maybe the end result of minog has encompassed halachic concerns and expressed it in the form of minog. And hence it takes its authority from the dinim that induced the minog. The second point I make, which I will not spend much time at, but actually, if you want, that is, it has to do with a shir I gave not long ago, and horo acha horo, the concept that minog is a machia and a machlokes. That whereas one individual may not have the koach to be a machia and a machlokes, as the expression goes, but if it's in mass, we can do so. It got established somehow that there's a fitness of do. This is our custom. And our custom was lahachia between Bali Machokis. Since the timing came out between Purim and Pesach, I thought for those of you especially who are going on Pobis or something, you need a good Shabbos HaGadol halacha drush one, I thought I would just use as an example the Yisur Kitnius Pesach to develop the power of a minhag, how it developed, what its origins are, and what its impact is in a pluralistic society where there are Ashkenazim and Sfaradim, each one claiming to be fuller than the next. That is our definition of pluralism in Judaism. I then jump to an example where minhag can determine chiyuv d'oraisa. And I took as an example a din kalacha yad, and as you'll see, this is how I survive. I get the multiple use out of my out of my commitments. So since we're learning sukkahs, I focus in heavily on the shurim I've been giving to try to get examples. It saves me some time from looking to other perspectives. Here we were Mayan a little bit more, so well, the same halacha you'll find many, many other places, on Shihutsu, etc. But there's Yoneg Mefar Kalachayadhu, and simply because I have a personal commitment to Rabbi Chana Wasserman Zatzal, because of his role in the Shoah, whenever possible to mention his name and Sosa of Dovos Vekeva. So I brought you down from the Kaigut Shurim things that I could bring from many other places, but Mamish is Chuso Lilu Nishmoso to use him as a source. And since unfortunately here in the yeshiva he's used so little for some reason, although he is most likely the best Malamed around on any Masechta in which he speaks, I brought some rayas from him and how the halachic, what is the halachic response to changes in custom and technology, and how it affects the Hilchus Shabbos or Hilchus, their client. And then again, as you'll see, the sugyas are just examples, could be from many places. I chose the examples from the shiur that I'm involved in from sugyas, the din of Menekes Chaveiro, and there I was able to show a historical, sorry, chronological historical development of a posik. Posek Adom, Ashrei Zatzal, how he moved along the Isur Menekes Chaveiro. It's an Isur in the Shulchan Aruch and the Machaber, Lo Plug, from a state of Isur to a state of almost Heter over the course of some 25, 30 years, as things changed in the care of the infant, pediatric patient, and his nutrition, how the concern from Menekes Chaveiro, Aloche Psuka, was allowed to be reevaluated in the light of existing exemptions, or, to put it in the previous imagery, to move the Aloche to the full extent of the boundaries that Chazal set. And here dealing with the Din Rabbanan, of course. And the last one, the one that is most likely, if there were any need to choose four or five Piskei Halachos that affected Klal Yisrael in the last generation, I think the one that would have to be in the top three would be the Psak of my Shreel Zatzal, that a reform marriage can be disregarded without benefit of get, if you matter an ish, quote, Lealmo, and thus save a generation from Mamzerus, and save a generation from Yisrael Eishasish. The movement of the Psak from Einan also Bilas Nus as an absolute to a possible Psak that a man living with his wife for 40 years, signing their checkbook, Mr. and Mrs., being recorded in the courts as Mr. and Mrs. having gone through a reform ceremony, Alpha TK, they are living in sin. There's an illicit relationship without benefit of Kedusha. And I brought down here the Lei Vibra, which is Rav Henkin Zatzal, one of the greatest of the Poskim that lived in America, his opposition to that psak, so that you see the tension that each had in trying to determine what are the boundary lines for this halacha of Ein Adam Osa Bilasa Bilaznus. Are there any conditions that allow differently? As I've convinced myself and try to convince the people of my shir, the Talmidim, that if Rav Henkin Zatzal were alive today, he would have no choice but to be moda. Maybe when he wrote the psak, he was right. Today, unfortunately, my shver is right. The Ein Adam Osa Bilasa Bilaznus is a concept you have trouble selling to anybody. Not in the light of the alternate bonding of relationships that exist in America, not in light of the studies on infidelity that are published regularly and so on. And that affects the halacha. the halacha never changes. The halacha responds to change. The halacha gives us the principles that allow the halacha to be always, to use the expression, relevant, meaningful, as if we had to defend it against somebody. I took down as examples of things that have changed, and I didn't mean to do so, but I had scribbled it on the bottom of the page and in pencil, and it came out in the Xerox thing, so I gave him the wrong page. I had rewritten it a little neater, person. I gave this page in, and so it came out, but it served, I think, b'dieved, very useful to see what I considered to be as part of the halachic analysis that must be made in order to really live up to the title that the office gave, Halachic Response to Social and Scientific Change, that there are halachas that should be reevaluated because of changes that have occurred. I run through them, and then really, you people, I ask you sincerely if you can add to it, because I'm interested in completing a monograph on this. I think it's maybe one of the most crucial topics that you can have. It's not right to send yeshiva boys out of this yeshiva without having exposed them fully to the majesty and grandeur of halacha as it responds to social change. I have here the little silbash. I'll give you just the Dhamma. Takes a little bit longer this time. I think that Dhamma itself is the ikir this year. Lo silbash, can you or can you not go in for a manicure while taking your haircut before Svir? A haircut for Yom Tov.
What about a pedicure?
Can you wear a toupee? New drug is on the market. I mean, it was just approved. Minoxidil for baldness. In baldness, achsorin for a woman. So man, what difference does it make? Yeah, hair, yeah, no hair. Is that also a nihugisha? I personally have had over 30 shilas on that question alone. The company has been doing some massive PR on that, getting in comments throughout last year. Can you use minoxidil to cause increased hair growth? Why would a man want to have more hair to grow? It costs more money to cut it. Or do you say, but everybody does it? If everybody does not know Hugisha. Can a Stern College girl going on a hike with her girlfriends, only girls, can she wear slacks? There's an isu. Well, Silvash, they gave a Silvash gave a Lee Alisha. You, if it's also, it's also. But you go into any women's store that sells only for women, you see racks of slacks. Has the thing the halacha changed with it? Impashus, of course. It's not a simlas gever anymore. Well, we'll make a chilik whether it has a zipper or doesn't have a zipper. So for zipper, you get malchus. You get zapped for a zipper. These are shaylis, and you're going to go out in the field, rabbanim, you're going to have to answer those shaylis. And how about a wife and a sister? They also count. You have to answer their shaylis also. And if you can't answer the shaila, the real problem is not your wife and sister or the fat yidin that wants to wear slacks. That's not my concern. My concern is that apikoiris that resides in you, the dharma shatashiv apikoiris, because when you cast aspersions on the integrity of the aloche, on the logic of the aloche, on the sensibility of the aloche, you weaken your emune of Hashem. And that's the thing you have to watch out for. My Shreya Zatzal and Parsha Zohar used to say, there's no Amalek What's the Pasha Zohar? What kind of nonsense? There's no Amalek. Rabbanan told us, the Chazal told us, you'll never be Amalek again. All right, there was Bilbu, among the Amim, there's no Amalek. The show would always say, Zohar, remember Amalek? He says, remember that you can become Amalek. Because Amalek had a fine Zayde, and he became Amalek. Because you also can be Amalek. And Ikas Kiyum of the Mitzvah is to make it impossible for you to become an Amalek. Rechitas kol gufo ba'avelis. Rabbi Gamliel kind of in his anor. And he washed Belela Rishona Shemesa Ishto because he was meticulously clean. He bathed every day. And what's the Hezbo? It was Rechitza Shel Nikoyon, not Rechitza Shel Tainot. Rechitza Shel Nikoyon is mutter to fall into a mud puddle. Coming home from the cemetery, it's mutter to take a shower. Do you tell me this man is there? Sitting 7 days in a hot August week, no air conditioning in the house, in Netanya or in Be'er Sheva or in New York. You cannot find it that there's a Rechitza Shel Nikoyon, and after the third day, fourth day, fifth day. Is anyone Paskin the Shaila? No. Why not? Mirsas Bayakum. This halacha will destroy the OU. You go with Mirsas. What's the beat? Mirsas Bayakum. Mirsas for who? For what? In a scandal-ridden society like we are, where there's no organization, not government, not medicine, not where it's not full of shkorim and honor, you will tell it to me that a guy won't tell a lie. Was afraid of getting caught. If he should get caught substituting shark for tuna fish, he may be made a vice president. No one's going to punish him for that. I'll give him a $250 fine, and the company will reward him amply. Is Mirsas a factor or not? Or are we not back to what Kadosh Baruch Hu was made in the mouth of David HaMelech? Asher p'im didoshol v'yiminam yimin shoker. Do we live with mitzvahs as well as they are not? So yeah, it says so in the halacha. Halachic response is only when you're looking for a kulik. How about halachic response means you got to be machmir. Concepts which are really a derech hamelech. It's really a oiz getrot in a veg. That some of the Achaina spoke about it. It's in food technology, one of the critical things. Yovish Gates in the Talich Shalitzer Ochlin. You know what we do to food in a process, in industry, it goes through, they put in poisonous acids and dry it and chop it and cook it. And it goes through many stages in a Royal Achila. You ever saw how gelatin is made? It's not royal achil until the final stage, and they put it in boxes marked jello. Is that a factor or not, that modern food technology has the ability to put in samim and then remove the samim safely or not so safely? Just two in, just for sake of completeness, taglachas v'chol amoy, let me just finish the line, then we'll give you a chance to breathe. Taglachas v'chol amoy, one of the Shrel's great shuvis, which was a response to a social change. The social change was that men shave every day instead of once in 30 days. And how do you explain to a Talmud that you must shave Erev Yom Tov, right? So you can't use the chalak shum menuvu, but you mustn't shave on Chol HaMoed. Why? Gzeira to maybe he'll forget to shave on Erev Yom Tov. What do you gain? Ma'ulach hachom v'takantam? That will certainly be maneuver on Yom Tov. Well, someone with a stubble of a day or two's beard is not maneuverable. And when people laughed at that idea, I mean, the time of homeland, suddenly comes society to show how smart Chachamim were. I understand the last year or two, if it's one of the accepted styles, is to show, is to appear in polite society with a stubble of a day or two. It's more aesthetic. So Chazal knew that a stubble of a day or two is nothing. But what he do with man is there, it's not. So when the Shver wrote the Shuvah, it was maneuverable to have a stubble. Right? Comes along a real maneuver in Hollywood. And decide it's nicer that way, so now it's a longer maneuver. What does Allah do? Flip flop back and forth every year, depending what the perverts decide how a man should look. But these are real halakhic problems. It's for real. This is what we live by. That's our halakha. I got mitzvahs back and twice for some reason. I understand the OU became very machmir. Someone just told me that the first page of the Passover bulletin in the OU is a warning that the Shabbos candles should be used only with the UOP. That's from where they got. Thomas says that it was so important, but the OU must use a candle, OUP, and if you have a suffix, whether it is OUP or not, you can light it and be kind of mitzvah be a Thomas. As a side, the hachokas v'isonida. The whole trouble with this topic is, I can take a circuit through Shas. But they have to be taken someplace. I don't know when we'll do it otherwise. I mean, you're walking with your wife, and she, first time the baby is being taken out, you carrying the baby. Suddenly you have to go to the bathroom. What do you do with the baby? You hand it to your wife, or you put it down on the snowbank, and let your wife pick it up from there. Have there been any shinuyim? Because what's halacha chokka then, maybe not a chokka now, or is it a low plug? As indeed, in most of these in Yonah, it's a low plug. I want to give you an idea that you're getting a great tradition here. But the question has to be asked. Because if you don't ask the question, it's because you don't believe that our halacha really can function today. So you better not ask questions. The fear that if you ask the question, you'll end up without a tennis. And then you have a time against Kadosh Baruch Hu or against Chacham. And then these concepts of Mishum Eva and Darkei Shalom. Well, what does it make a difference in Eretz Yisrael or in Russia or in New York? Are these universal concepts? They change with societies? That's the format for that has to be covered within 3 or 4 hours. Huh? And yeah, okay. And the Chol Yisrael one, and Sa'ar B'Yishei Elva. I have a few more. I just didn't finish. Sa'ar B'Yishei Elva, the union that we discussed in Mishir Amina Yehudis, Das Yehudis, and so on. All these unionim that you really must relate to clearly. One of the big problems among yeshivalites, because you're busy, is that you allow yourself a kind of passing acquaintance with inyonim, and that's sufficient for you. Oh yeah, I know it's a big machlokes. What exactly? Don't really know. It's dilettantes, you know. You quote something from Shakespeare. Say, oh yes, William. or a Kopmensch, you know. He also knows. Yeshiva Bacher can't do that. There must be someone who understands the Chayvus Al Tegam game that's on the one. To get something lucid, clear. There's no place he's going to do it except for the year. responds to social change.
You know, that's
Okay, we have enough trouble, but that has to do with it. Okay. Let's begin and see where it takes us. Okay, I think by giving you the outline of what has to be done, maybe what we'll have to do, Mr. Shem, is add to this or let some other people take over and complete it. But those things, those items that I listed, you should be very clear about. These are not esoteric halachas that come up sometimes. These are things that you're in constant contact with. What is the power system?
You've been reading the Mahri of halacha. Isn't that a great difference between the
ages? Yeah, so we'll want to talk about it. We'll talk about it. That's why I brought, as an example, Kitty's professor. Right?
And would it be possible for Gabi, what info change, what is just plain?
Yeah, well, as the union.
Sort of a general parameter.
Well, I don't know, the general parameter of what social change is meaning what is significant social change. That'll come up in each union. That's the key to whether the halacha should move from the box, the right side of the box to the left side, is has there been enough social change to warrant moving from the point at which Chazal left us 2,000 years ago. If there isn't, then we're at that point. If there is, then we'll move. How much we move also depends on how much social change there was. That becomes the yardstick by which we measure. Where in the box are we supposed to be? Okay. I didn't give you the Gemara in Bava Metzia because just one line, and I feel like and it's just a statement, nothing to study there. Yet it is a concept of social propriety in Minim, which is a halacha. Actually, there are two halachas, one which is applicable and one which is not. This one is applicable. The Gemara of Metzia, Omar Raptan Kumbachaneloi, Leolam Al Yishane Odom and Aminog, Shari Moshe Olam Oram Blochalechem, Malache Shari Sherudulamata Vyachu. In the discussion, I didn't give you that quote. Say that much you should know, huh? That's right. I gave you the Maramoka, well, I'll give you the paper. Let me see your paper of Amidbis. That's the statement that a social propriety which has halakhic imperatives to it. It's an imperative, it's halakhic. When the Gemara says, Leolam, right? Leolam Al Yishane Odom Min Hamilik, that's halakhic. The Din the Rabbanan, the Al Yishane Odom Min Hamilik. It could also be approached incorrectly in halacha, as we see, by saying, well, that's halacha Moses go to me. Al Yishana Min Aminas, Al Tasu Etzem, Agudus Agudus. Don't join the Agudus. I mean, don't make Agudus, right? This is not applicable in our case, as we'll see, because there's a fundamental in my focus for showing them, I believe, or the only, actually, whether Moses go to do applies to Minhag Yimana. Those only apply to the Rabbanim. Oh, not Minhag. We'll see the distinction between the two. But nevertheless, this first one says Minhag is binding. That's the Ikaraya we have. Tokyo Shal Minhag. If there is a Minhag, you're bound by the Minhag. You can't find the well. There are three levels, the Isis and the Rabbanim. And there are Minhagim. Minhagim are not binding on everybody. As we'll see, indeed, they are different than the Rabbanans, in that Minhagim may be more local, may be less universal, but nevertheless equally binding for those who are bound by those Minhagim. The same halachic imperatives apply. In the Gemara in Sochim, many Minhagim are mentioned on Daf Nun Amud Beis. That I gave you. I'll just, and I urge you to, those who who didn't learn, or not learning Pesachim now, and who did, most likely will never get to Mokum Shenogu. Either you go to the third bank and skip to Avi Pesachim, and the Mokum Shenogu gets lost, although in Yeshivas, Mokum Shenogu did hold its own. And most Yeshivas who learn Pesachim, the Yeshivas do say Shura and Mokum Shenogu. It's an extremely important Perek for the topic that we are discussing. Well, that's the Mishnah, that's the Mokum Shenogu, that's the one of the Ikum Makoros for such Minhagim. And I'm not going into Hilchus Minhagim, which you are familiar with, like the Halacha of how a Ben Chutz Laretz conducts himself in Eretz Israel, or Ben Chutz Laretz in Ben Eretz Israel in Chutz Laretz. I mean, can you have your host in Eretz Israel drive you around on Yom Tov Sheni Shalgolius, which is not observed in Eretz Israel? Can you have your brother who lives in Eretz Israel full time be a Shabbos Goy on Yom Tov Sheni when he comes to visit you in America? These are halachas sukkos that we know that's not part of social change, hence I've not discussed that. That's the old minhagim. All that changes is the level of amaratzis, how the people paskin. But the halacha remains bimkomo. I'll take there, by the way, you see, minog shel takonas b'nei ha'ir, which I just like to comment, is halachic authority comes from the power of taxation. And I won't go into detail, but if you do the sugya well, Shiva Tuvi Ir can charge you money for digging wells, for fortifying the town walls, and so on. They have power over you. Then they can order you not to work. It's a taxation. Instead of telling you work and give me the money, if they don't work and lose the money, and you have to listen to them because they have that koach. The Shiva Tuvi Ir have that power of taxation. And hence the right to tell you whether you should work Erev Pesach or not work Erev Pesach is included in the authority granted to them by the people. It is a halacha of svara that was granted to them, which they have a right to exercise, or better yet, a duty to exercise.
Doesn't
change. Nothing has happened.
Because of
Gemara
dealing with
Babel, and they're just trying to... No, it says. They hear, Lama Jom, whatever change it could be is built in to the example the Gemara gives here in Makom Shenogu. There's no reason to assume because you can get there as a small factor. That's called a social change, a technological change that requires a reevaluation. It makes a little more confusion because more people are involved in getting back and forth, but that halacha is therefore all the more necessary. The halacha shelo lasos melacha b'erev Pesach. So Rashi brings down kedei shelo yetoved b'melacha v'yishkach b'yichach chometz v'shchitas haPesach v'tikun matzah l'tzorech halayla. That was a motivation. Now, where that is a minhag which was made as a takonah seir for a purpose. The purpose is they are watching out for your soul. This was a kind of minhag that developed in order to protect a lifestyle of a Jew. But it didn't come under a takonas chachamim, which normally would be the ones who respond to such a need. You need a siyog la-Torah, right? So Kadosh Baruch Hu gave the chachamim the right to make siyogim chol asher yerucha. Yet it's mokum shenogu. It's not in the halacha of a takonas rabbanan. It's a halacha of minog. So you see that minog can substitute or supplant sometimes the need for the Rabbanan, because it responds to the same requirement, the same urgency that Rabbanan respond to. Rabbanan see that there could be a takole that he'll forget. Therefore they said, I want you to burn your chametz, not at the last minute, but Shema Yiter, right? Because Adam is Toeh b'sho'achas, b'shteishos. Therefore we made a takone that you have to move back or move up the Yisur Chametz 2 hours, so not to run into any trouble. Well, there sometimes the Rabbanan makes such a takana. Ochlin kol arba, tolin kol chomish, sofim tchila shesh. And sometimes places made that takana. And not everybody saw the need. I guess a place with a lot of kolalim, there's no need to worry about people working and forgetting. They don't work. They won't forget. And people in Wall Street, the bigger danger, right? In the mercantile exchanges, they needed such takonis. And hence it varied with the minhag hamakom, or as I want to put it in the terminology we're using, the minhag was the halachic response to social change. Because things have changed. It's no longer the placid economic environment of an agricultural society, where if it's heint this morgen, so I plow my field today, I'll finish it tomorrow. You're not playing around with minutes. Unlike someone sitting at a computer in Wall Street, where minutes can be a chilek with the transfer of millions or billions of dollars, they need more takonis than they need in the out in the farm. And hence, it's a mokum shenoga. The mokum responded to the need. Then you have such a minig beisav. A minig beisav, well, b'nei baishan. Five lines from the bottom. B'nei baishan, no good, l'abazina, mitzul, l'tzidam, emale shabata. Also, Banayu Kameh de Rabbi Yochanan, Omulo Avosan Efshalahu, Anan Lo Efshalon, Amalahu, Kwakiblo Avasechem Alehem Shanemar, Shma Bini Misorodicho, Vyatitosh Torasimecha. They tied our business commitments as such. We can't take off 1.5 days, can't take off 2 days from work, it's not possible. Rabbi Yochanan answered it, just too bad. You are halachically bound already. It's a minig beisav, and the minig beisav is binding on you, not on me. I can go my Erev Shabbos, make that trip. You can't make that trip. Because your father once had a flat tire on that trip and took a Kabbalah never to travel on Erev Shabbos, and therefore you're bound by that Kabbalah. That's halokhe, lo efshalahu. The reason for the takane was known. Why did the Beis Av establish a minik? Right? Because Yom HaShuk shall see them with Erev Shabbos. Therefore, they wanted to travel on Shabbos. There was a social change. They said you can't budget. Sometimes the minig hamakom was not a dinuvo minhag, but was a hachor. And I would like to suggest that this is a different kind of minig. It confuses the picture of minhag. But this is a minhag which substitutes for the mafia. Sometimes there's another gadol of the mafia, like the sugi in Sochim, where the he said to his son, "At ani sharisi, I saw Rabbi Yochanan eat, therefore I can eat before the shavuot before." He had this helpful chaylev, the chaylev on the stomach, chaylev shalak keres, near the keres, rather, in the greater curvature of the stomach. You who did not see, lo socha lo b'fana, lo shalo b'fana. I explain that the shir ha'roach ha'roach. And here you have a case where he said, "I can't be machi, I don't know what I love this. Therefore, I can hide under the protection of my Rebbe. A Rebbe-Talmud relationship allows me to say, my Rebbe ate, I saw him eat, I can also eat. But I can't tell you to eat because of two things. One, my Rebbe never passed in doubt about anyway. He wanted to be Hovah,
That's good. They should have written a tshuva. He didn't write a tshuva. They were told him this medrash. He was not that careful not to let me see it, so he went to say it. I'm for you, I'm fasting, you can eat. I don't want halacha rabim. Why? It is halacha b'morin king, whatever considerations he had. Halacha is a process. He didn't go through that due process to give out a halacha. This is not halacha. If I could be machia, then I would fasting for you, then you would be able to eat. But since I can't fasting for myself even, I'm only leaning on the authority of my rabbi, I saw him eat so I can eat. You, my son, can't eat before night or show before night. They can put on the table. Kishke made with this fat. I will eat it and you can't eat it. He was also. Why? Because you're not. Who are you to be machia between two bedolim? For you, it's a suffix of Yisroel of Humran. For me, I had a hachla by seeing my rabbi. That's a technique of halal, but it's not halal of rabbi. Milk, however, can become halal. I don't know how it happened. Who is there that was able to be machia to pass like one, not like the other? We have a big machoikness in the Hulun Sadi Gimu. Beya Chashilta. Anyone remember what that is? You know, finding out papers, get on Russia, so you should have learned that already. That's really castrated bulls. It's still done the same way by the Goyim. They have a crusher, a cruel metal instrument. They just they sneak up on the bull.
Yeah,
used over there. Yeah, yeah. They still see it in the farm magazines, and they basically what they do is they cut off the blood supply to the testicles. Simo says, but it didn't kill the testicles. Some man that happens to be a son of a farmer, so yeah, but it's. That was the standard procedure all along. Now they're a little fancier using ligatures, but that's still standard. And the farmers and the cats in the mountains, they still do it that way. Those who don't call it a veterinarian to do it. Marquez, what is this thing? Dead it can't be because there is no sirch on the ant. Gangrene didn't set in. What must have been in you? They give, of course, a modern explanation, I mean, an accurate explanation. On veterinary science, you crush the major blood vessels, but there are some collaterals that still were left alive, so the testicles are alive, they're not putrefying in there, but functional, they're not losing the major blood supply, so you thus castrate the bull, make him gentler, make him fatter. So what should I do? Is it Eva Menachai or not? If he took off the testicles while the bull was alive, it's Eva Menachai. It's also to eat. He crushed them so that there is. That's just a topic, what they are. I know they're not fully dead, but they're not fearful. That they aren't functional, I also realize. How will I classify this nitak? It's called Eva Menachayanat. That's called Beya Chashilta. So the Bachoik is sitting above it, whether he is Eva Menachayanat, Eva Menachay. So what did he say to him? He said to him, Beya Chashilta, Ravam Ravasi, Chad Osar, Vachad Shori, Am Rav Yochum, Rav Shemin Barabo, Hana Beya Chashilta, you have a place? I'm sorry, I'm full of it. Okay? People, if I jump a page or two, it's not that the other pages are not important. I mean, they all have, continue, I'm just taking single cases instead of multiple cases, so that we can cover more of the ground. Okay, you have it four or five lines from the top. I put a little mark on the side, it didn't come out. Alright, around there. You got it, Beya Chashilta. Alright, so what did he say to him? I tell you they're perfectly mutter. It cannot be. If Lord, there's no sirchon, they are in gangrene and said, they're not even merachai. Then they're alive. It's part of the animal yet. They wasn't cut off from the animal merachai. Otherwise, they would have turned gangrenous. Right? But at lo techol, for you it's also. Me, I can eat it. But you not. Bishum baltitosh toras imecha. And here you'll see, I'd like to make a machokis here, Rashi Rabbeinu Gershon. Regrettably, the Rabbeinu Gershon is not perfectly clear, but you'll be able to make it out. This is maybe one of the strangest things. I give him copy made by my dentist, the neighbor. It's hard to find Sovereign Bismarck, as you know. So I make these initial Xerox and make it home.
using my neighbor's little Xerox machine. It comes out everything perfectly clear. When that's put onto this machine, it blurs it. I'll show you the original. That's the strangest thing is. Huh? All right. Yes. The Rashi says, Minag mekomcha sha'ata mi bovel. Sham noagim bo isur. The Rabbi Gershon, Atitush Tolis Emecha, says, Tzivui chachomin. The chazinan, the machlokes chachomin hi, the charasa. Rabbi Gershon is not learning like Rashi. Rashi says, it's minog, therefore you can't do it. Rabbi Gershon says, no. There was hacho by the minog. The minog was machia like one of the bali machlokes, and hence it's also because it's also. Because your rab has been lisur, and it's also midarabonan or midaraisin. According to Rashi, minig hamokom to paskin like one individual, like one bal machlok, one of the bali machlokes. Since there was no hoho in the Gemara, there was no kamashmalan, no halacha behilchusa, then it remains a machlokes. And the decision to follow one day or the other is minhog na halacha. La halacha, either pshat is right, either halacha is correct. Because you can't be machia between Rabami and Rabasi. Therefore, you have a right to say it's muta, a right to say it's hasa. No one can tell you paker. But if your mokom, where you come from, decided harder or how, decided. No one says there was a hora from the rov of the town, then it'll be a hora again. No, it just developed that. As known as the fuma and thou principle, and they decided to be machmir. And since one began to be machmir, fastnish. Mm-hmm. You should be fuller than me, I am fuller than thou, so I also was machmir. We now have routinely in most homes middle finger glasses, and peshke glasses, and parva glasses. At least in Munsi, it's the routine everyone has. No one doesn't have it at all, that's all. How to develop powder glasses, mimicry glasses, facial glasses, what are her such things?
Well, you can't. Possibly they make a shower for a color. Right? And make sure that she has three sets of glasses. That excludes Pesach and a little tape on the side also.
But that became minhag, actually. If it's a minhag hamokom, says, right? What does he hold? According to Rabbeinu Gershon, if they were machia, that gubom paskin like one man normal, then it's horo, zarei chad the osar, he says. Therefore, they decide to follow like the chad the osar, then it becomes horo. It becomes horo, no different than the rov of the town paskin. The town paskin then made the rov follow their psak. It's almost like the Lashon there of halacha psuka. Right? Rav Zeir, bros yusol echmiru al atzman. Oh, they were machmir themselves, so Rabbanan put the stamp of approval on it. They were machmir. We made it to halacha. The initiation came from the townspeople, not from the from a process known as horor. And hence, minog is a substitute for a horor process. Therefore, it's not so pushit when you see a minog. Say, well, it's only a minog if I mention any place. The minog, if the minog you trace back to a machlokes bedin, then it may not be a minhag that's binding you, but a whole law that's binding you. And you'll see the big killing between a din v'rabbanan and a minhag. Just quickly, you should know that yourself, as the Rambam Shita Moshe, there's no bracha minhag. I say, like a bracha in Rosh Chodesh Halal. Right? It's only minhag, it's not a chacham. There's no shanta on violating a minhag. Now put in chayim, for violating a minhag. You put in chayim on violating a rabbanan. A few things there may not be and something that's the third thing which I don't want to get into maybe subsequently if you have time at the very end. Yehoi Vagabo may apply
with my focus, the Shonim, I believe, most people think it's only Achonim, whether Yehoi Vayavar applies to Minhog, or only to the Rabbanon. Rabbanon certainly now you have a pass. Din the Rabbanon, if someone's forcing you to violate a Din the Rabbanon, the Taret here, the Lavo, right, my focus, the Rambam holds not. Now the Minhag has not for you to forfeit your life. For the Rabbanon, you have to forfeit your life. It's still minor thing to know whether a thing is the authority of a Minhag, the authority of the Rabbanon. If it's a Minhag Hamachia, then it's a loss of the Rabbanon. If it's a Minhag with the authority of the Minhag, because that's you are Anshei Mokom, you belong to that town, and they have a right to establish rules about you because that's part of their taxation rights, then you're not bound in time of onus, in time of the anusim, in time when there was time of shmad. Tesis, you see Tesis in Dibra Maskel, Mishum al Titosh. Sovak Ravashi, the Amav Perakama, the Hecha, the Daite Lavzo, Nosnol of Humli Mokom Shirotsimisham. What is he saying? Not like Rabbi Nagershim. It's not Ho, it's Minhok. Inami, or you can say, Atlo Techa Longi Bim Tomoko Amma. But clearly, if it's Horror, it applies all over. It's a Machia. And I'm a focus whether it's called Eva Melachai and Amelachai Melachimina, what town you're in. If it's only a loch of taxation powers of the town, it's only in that town, no place else. I just mentioned just in passing, and I want to run over to the Kitty stores. I don't get much further than that today. In Sochem Daf Lama Namad Aleph, I'm going to put all the stuff together. Did I? Are you not? No. Did I? Yeah. And on page 3, have there a strange meister? Amar Rav, Kederos, Befesel, Yishaveru. V'yamai, Lashinu, Ad Acha, Pesel, V'leve, Behu, Shalom, B'minam. Zera, Otsu, V'leve, B'minam. Shmuel, Amar, Lo, Yishaveru. Avamashu, Lachaz, Mano. Vavibu, Ben, B'minam, Ben, Shalom, B'minam. Because he holds that Chomet Acha Pesach, right? Chomet Balua is Mutter. That's one of the. I was working with Ethiopians last few years. The Fume, the Chachomim among them. And there are some who are, they're halachis, they handle mamish like we do. It's a great lomdus and they're shyless and they answer tshuvas to the people who ask. They break all their dishes, at least those from the Tigris and Gunda, the Tigris and Latumra, the Tigris group break all their clay dishes for Pesach. They pass in days of the Pesach Yishavir. Their metal dishes, they magel. They hold that Chomet Acha Pesach is also Banor.
even Chametz Beluah. So before Pesach, they magil their metal dishes. Magil it for non-Pesach use. Pesach, they don't. It's interesting. They don't magil and use the metal dishes on Pesach. They have separate metal dishes for Pesach. But they magil it so that they can use it achar Pesach. Yeah? And the clay dishes, they break all the clay dishes. But that's, of course, I don't know if they do it now in the soil, or maybe they'll convince them not to, but that's, they did that in a society where Anius was at a literally survival level. I mean, nothing more. Where these people, most of them, mamish didn't have what to eat. And the idea of breaking all the pottery was a real Mesirah Sefesh. But that's how they fit with it. Huh? A lot of Eitzes, but, okay? Right? Rav Paskin like Rav Yudit, the Chometz HaPetzach is also by Noah, and he also holds that there is some Ashehu. Okay. Shmuel says, Lo Yishar Beiru. Shmuel says, the Hana, comes Shmuel and says, the Hana, the Mezav, the Kandli. Right? He goes to those who put on the kosher for Pesach stamps, right? And says, that doesn't allow you to double your prices. Ashru Zvini, Akadnichi, lower your prices of the pots for Pesach, right? Vilo Darshinu Luchu Kirabi Shimon. If not, Al Paskin, they're perfectly mutter, you don't have to do anything after Pesach. Say the Gemara, Shmuel holds like Rav Shimon, and the Gemara asked for the Rav Havi. This Gemara I used in a previous year as an example of Horo Shal Rav Ha'ir. That Horo Rav Ha'ir has a special authority. But there's another way to emphasize in the sugi. Depends which shir you have to give. There's another way to emphasize in the sugi. Actually, the Rav Havin, obviously Rav wasn't there. You can't say Rav was there, because if Rav was there, what's Shmuel threatening the merchants of Rav's town? And that is, if there's any e-kobo to the Rav, no strange Rav comes in and starts making gzeiros in the town, that's certainly no professional ethics. It means, actually, the Rav doesn't mean it was his town. It means it was his influence, right? They both, there's a town where they talk to like Rav. Follow the Shesef Shita, follow the Ramah Shita. This is a, follow the Gaon, the Nhogim, right? It was a Rav town. Nevertheless, what did Shmuel say to them? The Halacha, you're bound by the Halacha. There's nothing I can do. However, Ashmi Kidnaichu, I'm warning you, if you don't lower the prices, I will then paskin against your minhag. Why?
And here, my bad, on yours, a little bit of an exercise of leadership. Because a minhag cannot withstand social change. Because something has happened.
Anius, economic stress, things have changed in this town. And when things have changed in this town, the minhag will not be bound. Tell the people a secret. That you're bound by your minhagim as long as life remains normal. You get a bunch of gougers who are driving their neem up the wall, then the minhag is not binding on you. There are stress situations in which the minhag then can be vacated because of the stress. Why? When we're shot this way, well, this is shot in the Gemara here and not as irrelevant. The Masson is correct. As we go into the kidneys, they were the way the Gedolei Halacha responded to the kidneys problem in different parts of Europe. I think it's real pshat in the Gemara too. It's another way to the one. You can say, I can't do anything, you ask for the Rav, but then you get backed in. So how did he get Paskin against Rav? So already I saw a number of Mephoshim say, well, because
what do you call it?
then you don't, you must stand up for right. You can't let an avola go out in town. And therefore, that takes precedence over the quote harava ear. It's, I think, more gekretch than this guy. When he says to him, I will tell you, what you're doing is, you don't understand, you're putting stress on the people. You have the same sugi increases that press. The mice with the kobonus, with the kimi, with the teeth, with the opos. Right? A woman has to bring a cold and pratas every time she has a child. They can go up every time to the Yerushalayim. And then they came Yom Tov, when people came up to Yerushalayim, it was like the price of white fish or chicken or meat just before Yom Tov. They goofed the price because the market will vary. What happened? He stood up and he said, and if you look, I gave you like a number two. Right? Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, Lo'olin Halayla Achiyu Bidinovin. Okay? I'm going to break down the price. I'm going to break the market. Right? Nitzas the Beis Medrash V'lamad. That a woman can bring one set of kavanas for all her ladies. So a woman with five children, we're going to buy 10 ofos, she only has to buy two. That immediately cut the demand, the price came tumbling down. It's a psak against the halacha. In order to save the woman, mitumos, Rashi says, afo ki shehikil al dibri Torah, Eis lasus Hashem hu, shil mole lo yimsu, yechdulu milahavi, afilu echad, right? V'yochlu kadoshim betumas haguf, right? Their husbands are shefting shlomim, right? For chagigus shlomim, and they can bring him home, they'll eat to the barakom. Therefore, he stepped in, eis lasus Hashem, hefezu tovasefa, he went against the halacha. The halacha says you must bring Shnei Torim, Shnei Bnei Yonah for each and every leda. And he says, oh, we'll bring for all the ladies one thing. In other words, a new kind of halacha. We what? And here is not minimum, this is halacha. It's a similar circumstance in which, because of economic stress, a law is coming out and only with kids. But here, what are we doing? Here's a very unique thing. Here's with the halacha, I think, should be classified as the minhag. What he did was choose between two evils. That part of halacha, or part of minhag, when I'm boxed in and I have to choose between two evils, women should eat mitzumos haguf, and highly have a king of these b'nei shamayim for it. Or should I pass in the what? That one kovim is enough, one set of kovim is enough for kol later. Because there is such a havamin in the Gemara, but against halacha, we didn't pass in that way. Avi Machia, like a Das Yochid, against the halacha of Sukkah, because of the social stress, because of the economic stress. Now we had such a, I discussed with you once, and I discussed with you in the Shia I gave last year on Sakone, on definition of Sakone in halacha. You remember I brought you down a Tumas Hadeshin. Anyone recall what the union there was? Huh? By Katlanis, very good. By Nisha Katlanis. With Tumas Hadeshin doesn't defend the halacha. How come we disregard the halacha of Rochot Suku, that a woman with the Katlanis should not be allowed to marry another man? Three husbands died already. And he gives two Tumas in there, if you recall, two defenses why in his town we're not makbid. Yes. Number one, he says there aren't enough people to go around. What should we do? Aren't enough women to go around? Obviously, it was a community at a time when there weren't too many swim people. And if we were to cut out these katlonis, and in those days a katlonis was not an uncommon occurrence, with death rates as they were, men dying under the age of 40 was relatively normal. You left over women who went through several husbands. And second is what happens, a young woman who's a katlanis is what's going to be with her. She'll go out on the street. Right? What's going to be with her? A woman of 25 could have gone through three husbands. They married at 14,
15, with plagues, with epidemics, with mices. Therefore, what do we say? Dalocha do halocha? I said, no, dalocha boxed me in. What should I do? One halocha or another halochas? There are whole halochas that we're responsible for. Women should be moral, people should raise families, pay your living, etc. Comes along and you machia between the lesser of the two evils. That also becomes hava that responded to social need. But that's, I mention it just in passing, because that always was darkly hava. Last years, my shrev became more reminiscent in his conversations. And in his life in Europe, he would talk about the effort to, he always came to us for sukkahs, talk about the efforts there to get an Esther Yemulov for Yomtiv, the landlocked white Russian there. Hadassim, I hope this is no problem, they grew there. Hadassim, the monastery not far from town, where they grew Hadassim in pottery, in pottery, on the windows. And they would buy the Hadassim from the monks. Right. Got a lulav every 3 years. One lulav every 2 years. He says, Nanuim? He says, you don't shake that lulav. They keep it wrapped in paper, wet it every now and then. It shouldn't be Yoveshke, it should be Nifrach. It should be Nifrach Bitsipor, and it should have it for some halachic residue there.
Do you know how you learn how to master Shilas? People come to Shilas, I'm moving the Soyuz now. Those are Shilas. They have put together every aspect of halacha you can find in order to be master of someone to make a bracha, because it's important to make a bracha on that second lulu for these people. We know how halacha can respond to need. It's unnecessary for me to mention this case, and we didn't belong with me, except. I know how your mind runs. It's important to emphasize at this point. B'shach hat-chach ha-le-paskin, we have no problems. That's not a new change in the halacha. That's the norm. We know what happened paskin b'shach hat-chach. We don't have sin v'lubim in mokom tzar, whatever. These are problems that we use throughout shas. That's not a new cloud of social change. I'm concerned with those social changes that are relatively permanent, that reflect not a time of stress, but a normal thing in life that requires a reevaluation of our life. We just have time. Let's touch the minhag of the Ashkenazim to not to eat kitzias lepesach, also referred to as hakonas hagonim. Here I gave you two things. I'll get to the Megillah thing. I'll get down to the Shiltas, the Sum and Rosh on page 14, and the two Trubas of Sam Sofa. Okay? 14, 15, 16. I guess the most famous Minhag of Pesach is the Minhag. I guess. No, what's the most famous minig of Pesach?
Kibra.
No, for famous minig, let's see if you can guess, really.
Kibra.
Nah. I'm not talking about minhogi shtus, minhogi avarat. But I'll defend that minig to you soon. Seichel l'migdash kehilo. Kain also hilo. Right? Minhog, no halacha. That's a minig duke into the Seder. Right? Okay? The second famous minig is kidney size. And maybe gebrox, for those who know what it is. There are masochists who don't eat table on Pesach. If you go to Beit Hanmatzah, you'll be convinced that they are not masochists, but they are elechiyidim. Because if the matzah isn't baked properly, when you put it in your soup, it's going to become chametz. Okay? Or if a matzah
as was in almost all the factories before we began going down there and make takonis, where the flour dust filled the air, and when you bake matzahs, your jacket got covered with flour dust. Where the flour dust come from the air? That flour dust settling on a baked matzah, that's from the grinding of the flour in a not properly baffled area upstairs. And so the flour dust kind of settles on a baked matzah, and then you put that baked matzah into water, and you got the chametz b'mashu. Most is not such a wild minhag. It's a wild minhag because it's based upon amaratzim baking matzahs. That's the problem. But those who know how to bake matzahs baking properly, there's no need for a chumra of gebogs. But if you're not baking matzah properly, it most likely is better if you ate kidneys for Pesach, as we'll see. What's the time of the minog? Time of the tafanas agonim, or minog as it's referred to? Not because they passed in the chumra. Even on the machlokes of Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri in the Rabbonim, whether the orez is or is not, I know we have some sarad in here. You have the minhag of eating rice on Pesach? Not a minhag. Daf get eat rice on Pesach. Not it's mutot to eat rice. It's a kiyum to eat rice on Pesach. Why? To show that we know the halacha. Because of such a great machlokes of Yochanan ben Nuri in the Rabbonim, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri insists that the orez is one of the chameshes mini dogan. So you find not all the Sfaradim, but some of the Sfaradim, Syrians especially, by them not to eat matzah on Pesach and not to eat rice on Pesach is the same issue. Rice is made as mamish, as a kiyum of Pesach, that to eat rice. Right? Because otherwise it's shnei toros, to show that that's the halacha. We told the Chosra Shalodom, Nikur Shutam Etrocha. They didn't ask of beblach, soya beans, and kidney beans, and so on, because of a chashash chametz, because someone said that they are members of the chameshes mini dogan. That's not how that mina came about. Those who don't want to eat rice, there were, and I think the Algerians, I think, don't eat rice. Right? Algerians don't eat rice in Pesach. They don't eat rice because of chumrah. It says, Makoikis, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri in Rabbanan. Pesach, you're looking for chumrah, there's a mood of chumrah, rice tied up with Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. They don't eat rice in Pesach. I mean, they don't eat rice, Marash. But that's part of a chumrah of a tin. That's not how kidney, it's the kidneys came about. It's the kidneys came about. Sheyachlifu kemach bekemach. Or because of a agricultural custom, a minhag of farmers, in which the kidneys were grown in the spare spots in the wheat fields or in the rye fields. And therefore, when you harvested the kidneys, you'd often find some grains of chameshes mini dogon mixed in with the kidneys. So you had to be bodek the kidneys properly. I don't know if you've seen it, but in that show we have some good chaverim from the Algerian community. They intermarried the Syrians, and they bodek their rice for Pesach. They took me in 1972, I spent the year in Eretz Yisrael, and we were there for Pesach, and they showed me how they bodek rice for Pesach. Not to be believed, the dining room table covered with paper. Every member of the family sits around the table, and rice is thrown out on the table, and the rice is picked grain by grain by each member of the family to make sure that you both dig the rice for Pesach. Obviously, that came about a minig in that area. I didn't see it anyplace else, because in that area there was such a chash. A chash that maybe there are chitim or so mixed in with the rice, so the rice was picked grain by grain. As you know, the father never accepted this minhag. The Chacham Tzvi.
Which one? Bodek?
No, the minhag of not eating kidneys. Right, of course. But they eat all kidneys, hummus, and falafel, etc. Big machoikis in the soil, among the acholim, whether garinim, shkorim, whether it is considered kipnius or not for the Ashkenazim. And there we have a break in Ashkenazim, you know, some eat garinim, some don't eat garinim, claiming it's part of kipnius. Now there's whole to kuch nefesh, how can you survive a week without garinim shchorim at least? So they're matir. What should be garinim, or not, what should be kidneys, not kidneys, just an aside. L'chura, based upon the mokor of the minog, is anything that could be machlef kemach v'kemach, something that's made into flour. So people will see flour made from beans, they won't know whether it's wheat flour or not. They see the Rebbetzin pours in water and uses flour on Pesach, they'll also use kemach shachita or kemach shasodim. So for that, for something which you don't make flour, like sunflower seeds or pumpkin seeds, no one makes flour from it. Ever. Maybe from arbis, chikru, I'd call it in Hebrew. That's humus. No, what's where to make flour from?
Abanza.
Yeah? Some chickpeas. Yeah, what's the name of the call it? That's the humus, right? All right, I said the hummus, right? That maybe is not also would be also out kidneys because it's made kema by kema. So we don't go into the whole thing now. We don't have time. As you know, there was a move in Europe for many, many years to ask for potatoes because they began making potato starch. And hence, tiny potatoes now should be on the xeris kidneys. And that's a raya, by the way, from that my focus. Right, what happened? Actually, one who killed that one was the Chayadim. Chayadim got out and said, "You can't survive. And you won't have what to eat for Pesach." They wouldn't allow the extension of the Yisur kidneys to potatoes for that reason. And they never made it for that reason. That's a raya, by the way, that the Zera was not on specific species, but on a concept. That's why the Noigayot got a cornstarch. Chinese corn was discovered in America. It's an American plant. There was no corn at the time of Chazal to be included in the minog. If you learn the minog was on specifics, on species, then how much corn should be mutter? Then tira should be mutter.
Do you make peanuts?
Huh? Do you make flour with peanuts? Sir? No. My Shvel's house, at the Seder table, they serve peanuts to the children. That's Halkin. It goes in there. Peanuts, what they said in Europe, was it? Oh, yeah, it was an expensive food to be mechaber a guest on Pesach in our own home. We don't have the occasion to eat much, but we would eat peanuts on Pesach. No peanuts, of course. Peanut oil was the first of the kosher oils for Pesach. And no one questioned whether it was shemen kidneys or not, which was corn oil and so on. Because peanuts, no reason why peanuts should be kidneys for two reasons. One, you don't make flour from it. Number two, it is kidneys because some idiot took a first course in biology and learned that the peanut plant is a leguminous plant that belongs to the bean family. But from Balabos's point of view, kidneys grow above the ground and peanuts grow in the air. They grow underground, like potatoes. So why would anyone even be medame? Min to mean it doesn't look like kidneys.
So because some person took a first biology course,
and they asked them peanuts because they learned that, you know, Columbus discovered America, and they learned that peanuts are classified as a bean. But being classified by Linnaeus as a bean doesn't mean it belongs to the Shulchan Aruch. Right? Reb Sofkaro was not an expert in taxonomy to be able to say that this is also a kidney. Anyway, in Golf Aita, the Chacham Tzvi, and I don't have, this I didn't give you, but just the quote is important. I brought you some, which says the same thing. I just want to read this quote. The Chacham Tzvi, which doesn't, I don't find the Chacham Tzvi either. I found it in the Mol Tzir, Simen Tov Nun Gimel, for those who want to round out your library. That's written, Mol Tzir was written by the son of the Chacham Tzvi. Ashal Shuvah Sefer Mol Tzir and Simen Tov Nun Gimel, he quotes his father as saying as follows. Mitov shein ochlin mini kidneys, sorech laharbos ba'afiyas hamatzos. Since you're only kidneys, you're hungry during Pesach. You have to eat more matzah. Al deizeh ein medagdikin ba'afiyas hamatzos. Because they have to bake large quantities, they're in a hurry. They bake matzahs sloppily. V'hu minag gohua, v'chumro de'osi l'dekule, v'chuvah, u'machshilan de'isa chametz. I mention this because of my own Talmidim who went to bake matzahs with me and saw how difficult it is to bake matzahs properly, hand matzahs. The Chamsi knew about it, and he didn't allow the minog of Yisra Kitnis to get established in his town. He says, because in the mean you have to eat more matzah, and every matzah you eat is a shash chametz, he says. Okay? So, Enko Chodor Sachas HaShomers. I found this only recently, you know, the last few days. So, I thought I was the first one to discover that the problem with baking hand matzah, the Chamsi knew fully about it, and that's the reason he refused to accept the minig of the Yisrael of Kitnias, the minig, I mean, Takanas Hagonim, he says, because it's a Chumra HaMegul HaDekulit. Right? Umachshilon BeYisrael Chometz. Because they have to eat extra matzah, every extra matzah. I know when I grew up in a little European town called the Lower East Side, and I knew Yidin in my building, in our apartment house, who ate a Kazayas matzah for both Zorim and wouldn't touch matzah again. Not eat matzah. All yantas, they were not, no lechemishin, no nothing. That was their Kabbalah. Where they came from, I don't know, but that's from Galciana section of Russia. There, that was their Kabbalah. They would make potato starch, that kind of things. Kuglin, they'd have two kuglin on the table for lechemishin and things like that. But not any more matzah, but the mitzvah matzah because of chash pamas. The Shailas Shuv is B'Somim Rosh, as you know, it's Miuchas to the Rosh. Whether it is or is not, it's a big suffix, and most likely it's not. But nevertheless, it's someone from the time of the Rosh. So, another Rishi, it's not the Rosh, but what he says is worth listening. Look at Simin Shin Mem Ches. Masha Sha'al V'Zarakitni Yisra'orez V'Adochem B'Pesach She'mixas Rabbanei Ashkenaz Hose V'chein Ha'mini B'mixas Kehilos Omrim Shein Zochin Zman Shochluhu. Yeah? And some of his kids, they say, they don't remember eating kidneys. It was established, in other words, it was established in his area that they don't eat kidneys on Pesach. The Gelenkin don't remember the time when they ate kidneys. Tshuva, Zorosu. It's a meaning, it's a strange meaning, not eat kidneys. Shadava Mepurish Bigmoral Atia. No, no, there was never a takana. He says, nonsense, takana sagonim, sheker. There was never a takana sagonim. These are minhogim that might have developed, and he calls them minig zorus. Ein lano lachapes tamas kus, loma masha osu mixas, loch lubik hilos siduos. Korob hadovo, sheminagirushin, vabulbulim, nishtaka,